service with a wink and a nod. You meet a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life. Bob in your life.
Oh, Bob.
Hey, this show isn't heard in Mexico. How could we have a call already coming in from Mexico? Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number 1-800-8-ENYART. Oh, see, they're rewriting it as my call screener said Mexico. He lives in Mexico, but he's calling from where? Texas. Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to that call in a moment. We'll get there and others. 1-800-8-ENYART. Couple things first. Hey, yesterday Israel, in response to the Palestinian, the suicide attack by the Muslim, murdered 17 passengers on an Israeli bus. So in response to that, Israeli troops stormed Yasser Arafat's headquarters yesterday. They blew up three of the buildings in his compound there in Ramallah in the West Bank. And this really is interesting. They shelled Arafat's living quarters. They said they were not targeting him, but one of the shells put a hole through his bedroom window. I'm sorry, through his bedroom wall. Now his bathroom is a part of the bedroom. Put a gaping hole in the wall between his bedroom and his bathroom. The shell hit 5 feet from his bed in the middle of the night. That's interesting. I guess now he has the problem of, since he's running out of meeting rooms, he can't even meet in his bedroom anymore if anyone has to use the bathroom. So he's a bit tight. You know, Arafat supports terrorists. He pays for the bombs to blow up children. So that qualifies him as a terrorist. Hey, and Lou Dobbs. Who's heard about this controversy with Lou Dobbs on CNN's Moneyline? What a story. Lou Dobbs started his show. He started his show on Wednesday with a statement that I want to read to you, because he was saying that our war, for this to be on CNN, this is just amazing. Lou Dobbs was saying, our war is not against terrorists. He said, that's not exactly the right way to say it. He said, our war is against Islamists. Islamists. Now, this has caused a firestorm of complaints from liberals. But let me read to you what Lou Dobbs said. He said, the government and media for the past 9 months have called this a war against terror. So have we here. But terror is not the enemy. It is what the enemy wants to achieve. So on this broadcast, we are making a change in the interest of clarity and honesty. The enemies in this war are radical Islamists who argue that all non-believers in their faith must be killed. They are called Islamists. That's why we are abandoning the phrase war against terror. Let us be clear, this is not a war against Muslims or Islam. It is a war against Islamists. Hey, this is on CNN, Wednesday, on Moneyline with Lou Dobbs. He said, let us be clear, this is not a war against Muslims or Islam. And I agree with that. It is a war against Islamists and all who support them. If ever there were a time for clarity, it is now. We hope our new policy is a step in that direction. Hey, do you think Lou Dobbs has read our 9/11 pamphlet we've got on the web? Maybe he's read that. Maybe he listened to the September 11th talk that we put up on our website, kgov.com, on the net September 12th. Let's go to the phones. And first, Jorge, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, sir.
Same here. God bless you, Bob.
You live in Mexico.
I do. I am a Mexican. I live in Mexico.
Where in Mexico?
I live in a town called Parral.
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 ¿Dónde está Parral?
Está en Chihuahua.
Oh, gracias.
Chihuahua, Mexico.
And now you're calling from Texas.
Right now I'm at El Paso, Texas.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So how do you know about this show, Jorge?
Well, actually, I used to watch you on the big dish, on the satellite dish, until your TV program ended.
Yeah, did you watch in the U.S. or in Mexico?
Oh, in Mexico.
All right.
In Mexico. And then recently, well, not quite by accident, I looked for it, and I stumbled into your webpage, and then I started listening to the program through the computer, through the
thrilled.
Internet.
I'm thrilled, Jorge, that we found each other again.
So am I.
All right.
Glad to talk to you, Bob.
So what's up, sir?
Well, basically, I've called to tell you that I'm a Bob Anger wannabe.
You're funny.
I really am. You know?
Hey, Jorge, last night we had a bunch of used-to-bes calling to the show, and now we got our first wannabe.
Hopefully I'm not a used-to-be.
No.
Well, anyway, and basically I agree with everything you say, and I see it all around me. I see it in Christians in Mexico, evangelistic Christians, you know?
Yes.
Not evangelistic, evangelistic.
Evangelistic.
Yeah, because they go from one place to the other, you know?
Yeah. Jorge, let me see if I can understand what you mean by you see it even in Mexico. Because we've been in Israel and in Italy and New Zealand and Mexico and all over this country and Canada and Alaska. And we've seen it everywhere we've gone that Christians almost worship cliches. And they're not really all that concerned about the Bible, but they fight to the death to defend their cliches. And the cliches are like, don't judge.
Yeah.
All sins are equal.
There's
no time in heaven.
Tolerance.
Tolerance. You have to forgive everyone at every moment for everything without condition. All these kinds of cliches that are not in the Bible.
You're right. Unconditional forgiving.
Yeah, and that's...
And if you don't, you're evil.
Yeah, and these are the most important things to Christians, and the Bible never says any of these things. In fact, it says the opposite. Repentance, Jesus said, if someone sins against you, forgive him.
Yeah, no.
No, he didn't say that.
That's not what it says.
What did he say, Jorge?
If someone sins against you, rebuke him.
Oh, come on. The Bible does it. Jesus didn't say that.
That's what it says. And then if he repents and asks for forgiveness, then forgive him.
Oh, my.
I think that's what my Bible says.
You got a good Bible, Jorge.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Anyway, the thing, Bob, I really agree with everything you say. Here in Mexico, I see the Christian movement. I've been part of it, and up to a point, I'm not anymore because I ran out of options.
Oh, boy. Jorge, hold on. After this live commercial break, let's talk about options. La trama. Hey, me llamo es Roberto, y yo no hablo español porque en mi escuela mi profesores es loco, y yo no estudio nada. En mi escuela, y entonces yo no hablo español, pero yo quiero hablar español bien, pero yo no. Hey, this is Bob Inyart, and we're here doing a live commercial. You know what? When we come back to the show, I got to tell Jorge about the plot that we have in Spanish, en español. This is exciting. We've got a guy who's an expert translator here in Denver, and he's been working. Where did that come from? Wow, that was loud. My computer's interrupting my own commercial. The We've got a professional translator. In fact, he's done translation work for the city of Denver, the Denver Zoo. They got to translate something into Spanish. He's done Spanish news on local Spanish radio stations. And he's been translating the plot into Espanol. And the title of the plot is La Trama. And he's done this as a labor of love, even though it's a huge effort. You can't just translate on a web page. It doesn't work. That's a make-believe. It's horrible. But anyway, he's done it as a labor of love. And also, we're in a partnership. And he said that the Spanish community needs solid Bible teaching, and that's why he's working on the plot in Espanol. Hey, that's exciting. We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. So let's go back to the phones. Jorge, yo no hablo español.
Sí, sí, hablas.
Yeah, me. I took Spanish 1 in high school for 3 years.
Really?
3 years I took Spanish 1, and all I learned was cultura. Y en América del Sur hay 20 países. And that was about it.
Well.
And I'm so mad that I went to such a lousy school because I wanted to become proficient in Spanish. And I just had a lousy education.
Well, you can always learn, Bob.
I know.
I'll be glad to teach you.
Hey, we're going to Mexico next spring.
Really? Where are you going to go to?
Well, our dear friends just bought a condo. And let me think, where did they buy it? How about Puerto Peñasco?
Puerto Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta?
Puerto Vallarta.
No. Peñasco? No? Where?
Peñasco, Puerto Peñasco.
Yeah, sí, cómo no. I think that's where. Anyway, they said the shrimp is fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
So
it is.
We're eager to go to Mexico.
Well, that's on the coast. I'm right smack on the middle.
You are?
Yeah, it's desert where we are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, and my dear friend, Mark Sutherland, he's a realtor here in the Denver area. And Mark, he knows Spanish very well. Him and his wife just got back their 20th wedding anniversary. They went to Mexico for a week, and he's fluent in Espanol. It's his second language. And he teaches Bible studies from time to time, Spanish Bible studies.
I see.
And he teaches just like we do in the plot.
Really?
Yeah.
And where does he teach us?
In the Denver area.
In the Denver area.
Yeah.
So there are lots of Mexicans in the Denver area.
Oh, there are.
Yeah.
A gazillion. And you know what, Jorge? A lot of conservatives want to seal the border.
I know.
You've heard that, right?
Yeah, sure.
And when you listen to talk shows, it's hard to find a talk show more conservative than Bob and Yart Live.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
We make Rush look liberal.
Yeah.
Without any doubt.
Yes.
But we have never once called for sealing the borders. What we've called for is ending welfare.
Yes.
End welfare and you solve the immigration problem. Anyone who wants to come here wants to work. So just end welfare. And if people want to come and be friends and help, let them come.
Let them work.
There's a lot of work to do.
Yes.
The more people come here, the wealthier we will become.
I agree with you.
So, Jorge, tell us about your frustration with Christians and what's
Well, up. It's a whole thing. That's why I say I'm a Bob Anger wannabe. Because I am really looking for a way to change people's minds and hearts. And frankly, the more I try, the harder I fall.
Yeah.
It's frustrating completely. I'm caught between, in one way, the Christians, which, as you said, preach tolerance and acceptance and light Christianity.
Right.
And on the other hand, you have the tremendous influence of the Catholic Church in Mexico.
In Mexico, yeah.
Yes.
That's
right. Catholic Church completely dominates the thoughts and the religious, quote-unquote, thoughts of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, they don't let them get close to Christ, and they don't feed them either. They just want them to be in the church,
well,
if you know what I mean.
I grew up Catholic.
Yes.
My mother, she really wanted us to know God, but she had never read the Bible. She didn't know a lot about God, but she grew up Catholic.
Yes.
So we went to a Catholic church, and I went to a Catholic grammar school for 8 years. And I was an altar boy in a lectern where you read the readings during the Mass.
Yes.
Now, I was a young kid doing that. I don't remember how old I was. Maybe just 13. And so we wanted to know about God, but no one in our church, including the priests and the nuns, knew anything about God.
They don't know anything.
They told us about evolution, about reincarnation. They couldn't care less if we believed in God or not. They didn't believe in the Bible. They said it was all mythology. That was the church I went to.
Yes. Well, I pretty much have the same background.
Hmm.
I could say, privileged enough to go to a very good Catholic school.
Oh.
And I went from grammar, secondary, and high school.
Wow.
And, I really think I got a good education there. You know, it was a private Catholic school.
Yeah, and I learned more academically than the kids who went to the local public school.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, then I went to a public high school, and it was review for 4 years. I learned nothing in high school.
You reviewed your whole grammar there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I learned absolutely nothing in public high school.
Yeah.
Other than how to destroy my life.
Yeah.
That was 101.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, they do have good schools, you know?
Yeah.
And, I really appreciate it, you know, my education and
mm-hmm.
everything.
Right.
But what you say is also true. They know nothing about God. They know nothing about the Bible. And they never teach it. If they do know anything about it, they never teach it.
Right. It's like they keep it a secret if they know
it. Yeah, it's like it's something
my mother became friends with a couple women who were teaching Bible studies.
Yes,
and
sir.
So she invited them to our house, and we were going to weekly Bible studies in our own home, and we started to learn the Bible. And we found out that the Bible said you had to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. That blew our minds.
Not so, Mary.
Yeah, right. Well, we weren't real big on Mary anyway, just, you know, Mary.
Yes.
Whatever, genuflect, holy water, whatever. And then after church, you go to the bakery, you get the buns, you go home, and you have pasta. That was Sunday morning. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I went to the priest because I wanted to ask the priest if what we were studying in the Bible was true. And so they live... You know, the convent with the nuns was across the street, and the priests lived right next to the church. It was attached to the church in this building called the rectory.
Yes.
And so I went in there, and I knew the priest because I was an altar boy. And I said, I have some questions about the Bible, these verses. I want to know what you guys think of these. And so we went in there, and they couldn't find a Bible. They did not have a Bible. We went, they had a little den with the bookshelves. No Bible. They went through their bedrooms,
mm-hmm.
which, in retrospective, that could have been scary. No Bible. Sorry. No Bibles.
No Bible.
So we finally went into the church, and on the altar, you know, there's that 20-pound big Bible they use?
Yeah.
We had to use that.
Gold all around it.
Yeah. And they didn't know how to find books in the Bible. They didn't know anything about the Bible, and they were the priests, and they didn't have a Bible.
Yeah.
So,
spiritually.
So I realized that the spiritual leaders of the Catholic Church that I grew up in knew nothing about God, nothing. Being a priest was like being a carpenter, only it wasn't even honest work.
Yeah.
Because they weren't truthfully representing God or Jesus.
Yeah.
They told me that reincarnation was true, that evolution was true.
Yes.
You know, and the Pope flirts with evolution. He's frequently said that it's more than a theory.
Well, the thing is, Bob, in Mexico, the Catholic Church is more a Marian church than a Christian church.
It's more about Mary.
Yeah, the whole thing is about Mary.
Do you think the people...
Jesus happened to be her son.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think... Now, the Catholic Church does not officially say that you should worship Mary.
No,
but
deny it.
But I debated a Catholic in the studio here a few months back. Two shows, Bob Debates a Catholic.
Okay.
And you might want to grab those on the internet.
I will.
Jorge, at kgov.com.
I will for sure.
Previous shows. They're really fun. But I asked him, I forget if it was on the air or off the air, maybe the second show on the air. I said, don't you realize, even if the church doesn't say to worship Mary, don't you realize that millions of Catholics around the world do worship Mary? That they worship her. They bow down before her and worship her.
Yes.
And he admitted that that does happen. So I said, I guarantee you the church will never issue an edict from the Vatican saying, don't worship Mary.
No, never.
They'll never do that.
I don't know if you are acquainted with what I'm going to tell you. I know you know of the Virgin of Guadalupe.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Mary.
The Vision of Guadalupe, where the guy gave up his wife and kids to build a shrine to Mary.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Basically, how the story goes is that this was like 30 years after the conquest of Mexico. And the way the story goes, there is this peasant, Juan Diego, who is an Indian. Okay? So Mary appears to him and asks him to worship her and to go and to worship her son. And, well, he, as a proof of her appearance, in his jute, in his cape, she stamps her image. And that image exists till today. It's a painting, of course, mm-hmm. which is at the Basilica de Guadalupe in Mexico City.
Right.
That's what it is. And basically, the whole thing was made up. There is Schulenberg was the keeper of the Basilica, and he publicly said that the whole thing was a lie.
Well,
like 5 years ago.
All right, now let me, Jorge. Even if it was true, even if at least a Juan Diego existed,
yes,
and if his story, if he believed it, like he was deluded and he believed it,
yes,
the Roman Catholic Church just canonized this guy.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to tell you
last year.
It's ridiculous.
And what his own story is this: he saw a vision, the Lady of Guadalupe. He saw her vision. And so he told his wife and his kids he was leaving them to build a shrine to the Mother of God.
Yes.
And so the Roman Catholic Church canonized him for that last year.
Yes.
Now, what we would have done is we would have excommunicated him. Because if you abandon your wife and your children, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel.
Yes.
That's not a saint. That's a sinner.
Yeah. God wouldn't ask you to do that, will he?
No, abandon your wife and your children so you could build a building to my mother. So abandon the mother of your own children.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, the point is, Schulenberg, what he said is that even Juan Diego didn't exist.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
they threw him out of the church, of course.
Jorge, is San Diego, Saint Diego, is that
Diego.
Named after Juan Diego?
No, no relation.
Oh.
Diego is a very common Spanish name.
All right, so it's a different saint.
It's a different, completely different.
All right.
Well, the thing is, Bob, there I am, you know. I have on one side the evangelistics and on the other the Catholics, okay?
Right.
And then, well, there are all sorts of ideas. I'm evil. I'm terrible. I judge everybody.
Right.
I don't accept people.
Yeah, the Christians, they don't judge the homosexuals. They judge Jorge for trying to rebuke the homosexuals.
Yeah, that and other things, you know?
The Christians are the world's leading hypocrites.
It's amazing.
You know, the homos ain't nothing. We have the Christians to contend with.
It's amazing. We've got to love everybody.
Yeah.
Unconditionally.
Yeah.
Unconditional love.
Except for Jorge and Bob Enyart.
You bet.
Right.
The only problem I have is that so far I've got one follower, me.
All right.
I found nobody that wants to go. I mean, they do, you know? It's like we start talking and they start agreeing and they
all
say,
right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And these, oh, I never looked at that way. And
Jorge,
so forth.
Listen, on this show, we like to talk to people we disagree with. We keep them on for a long time.
Yes.
People we like, we get rid of them right away.
Wow.
You've been on for a half hour. I want you to stay on after the news. I want to talk to you, and let's strategize how you could get more converts. We'll be back. All right, live commercial break here. And what I've been told is that I need to mention the name of every audio album we have during this commercial and tell you what it's all about. That's not humanly possible, but I'll try. Our phone number, 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. You can order this stuff. Okay, we have an overview of the whole Bible called The Plot in 6 tapes. It's fun. Then we've got The Law of Moses. And then The Last Days. And something called Details Galore, which lists every miracle in the Bible and the reaction of the witnesses to the miracle. Boy, is that interesting. It is not what you think. Galatians. We have an album on the book of Galatians. Why does Paul blast Peter in the book of Galatians? Then we've got 1 Timothy. That's Paul's book on wine, women, and such. James and Jude. You know, that's Jesus' brothers. Fun study. Then we have an album called Nicer Than God. How nice is too nice? Check out Nicer Than God. We've got Ruth, God's Great Love Story. Debating an Atheist. 6 tapes where I debated an Arkansas atheist, an author. It was fun. The Book of Revelation in 2 albums. Album 1 is 7 Churches, 7 Seals. And album 2 is 7 Trumpets, 7 Bowls. Now I'm wondering, if I tell you a story about that Revelation album, those albums, I won't get done. But I think I want to tell you the story anyway. All right, somewhere in the country, it's some county, somewhere in the country, there's a prosecutor. And the prosecutor is a strong Christian. And with his church, he's in a weekly Bible study, and they're in the book of Revelation. And one of the police officers that works with this prosecutor, a detective, the detective is a Christian also. And he asks the prosecutor, "So what are you doing in your church?" The prosecutor says, now this is a true story. The prosecutor says, "We're studying the book of Revelation." And the detective says, "No, you're not." And the prosecutor looked at him like, "Huh?" He said, "We're studying the book of Revelation." The detective said, "No, you're not." The prosecutor said, "What do you mean, no, we're not? We're studying the book of Revelation. Of course we are." And the detective said, "Well, do you understand the book?" And the prosecutor very honestly said, "No, not really." And the detective said, "Check out Bob and Yard's Revelation albums." And the prosecutor has told us he now understands Revelation. We're back. Bob and Yard Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, and I want to go back to Jorge. All right.
Hello.
Why don't we strategize?
Okay.
And figure out how you can get more converts.
I'd like that.
Yeah, because, you know, we know, well, I know here that it's difficult because we've been doing it for over a quarter of a century, but it seems to be doable if you have the right strategy. It seems to be doable, but it's just very difficult. So, Jorge, let me ask you about how well do you know our ministry other than hearing the shows and watching the TV shows?
Well, I know that you're a big-time advocate anti-abortionist.
The moral issues are very big with us. Pornography,
yes, I know that.
Suicide, and abortion, all those issues are big.
And believe me, I identify completely. Were I there, I will be shoulder to shoulder with you.
Oh, wow.
Believe you me.
That sounds neat. So the moral issues are very important to us. How about, are you at all familiar with our Bible study materials?
No, sir.
Okay. Now, they form the foundation of this ministry. Because the things we say on the air, Where do these ideas come from? They come from the Bible.
Yes.
It's, you know, people call in and they love democracy. And so we ask a few simple questions. Like, did Jesus say the majority are righteous or that they're evil? Well, Jesus said the majority is evil. So if you have a form of government that is majority rule, you have a virtual guarantee that your government will be evil. And so in about 1 minute, you get people all confused because they don't have a foundation in the Bible. And so, you know, that's just an example. And so we need to know how to process what Jesus said about human beings and what God puts in the Bible about government, so that when we make statements about government, they're intelligent. And not only that, I just bring up that issue as an example, but whether it's overpopulation or taxation or the death penalty or evolution, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, our foundation is our Bible understanding.
Yes.
And so, Jorge, what I would like you to consider is we've been working for the last couple of years with a local Spanish translator to come up with a Spanish translation of our Bible materials. And we have the manuscript that we've sold thousands of copies of is called The Plot.
Yes.
In English, it's The Plot.
I know, I understand.
In Spanish, it's La Trama.
La Trama.
And does that mean, I don't speak Spanish.
It means The Plot.
It means The Plot, right? The story.
Yes. Like on a, if you read a novel, there's a plot, there's a trama.
Yeah, what's the storyline?
Yeah, what it is about.
Right, exactly. And so we have The Plot the plot is a long book. It's about 320 pages, a manuscript. And what we have is, of the 11 chapters in The Plot, the first 7 are completed.
I see.
In Espanol. And, you know, I am so excited about that. It's been a huge effort, and the translator is one of the best in Denver. In fact, when the Denver Zoo needs something translated into Espanol, they call on this guy.
Okay.
He's just great. And he's done this as a labor of love, because he said to me that the Spanish community, there is virtually no Bible knowledge, and there's almost nothing in Spanish regarding Bible teaching that's worthy of reading.
Well, yeah, there is, but nothing worthy of reading.
Right.
Everything is just the same. It's like, that Southern Baptist thing, you know?
Well, I don't want to say.
Miracles here, left and right.
Well, that's not exactly a Southern Baptist thing, but you can find plenty of Spanish literature on demons.
Oh, yeah.
And hell.
Yes.
And the Antichrist.
Yes.
You could find that. But forget about understanding the Bible or law and grace.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible doesn't talk about demons on every page. Less than 1% of the Bible deals with demons.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if the Spanish publishers had anything to do about it, that'd be the only thing that Hispanics would read about.
Yes.
So
well, there's another point, like what you were talking about before, going back, if I may, with the Catholic Church. It's like, their argument, it's like their effort right now is to counter the arguments of the Christians. I mean, the only reason they tell you to read the Bible is so that you find a specific place where they can sustain an argument to debate the Christian preaching, which they do preach, you know?
Right.
Christians preach Christ. And they might go astray, you know?
Yeah, but at least they're preaching Christ.
Yeah, they're preaching, yeah.
That's what the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians.
And they're believing, and their heart is in the right place. It's just that I find that they're not using their mind.
No.
They're not really reading the Bible.
Right, like the book of Hebrews said that you're stuck on the milk, you can't handle the meat.
Yeah.
And that was 2,000 years ago. If Hebrews was being written today, the author would say, you can't even handle the milk. You're lactose intolerant. That's the church today. They can't even take the milk.
No, they take a good show on Sunday with song and with light preaching, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, everything, I mean, I don't want to come the wrong way, you know?
Right.
I see a lot of good in them, you know?
Yeah.
The only point is that... like what you do, you go fight the abortionists.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Mexico, we have many, many causes that we could fight, you know?
Right.
There's lots. There's abortion, even though it's done hypocritically, and it's supposedly against the law, although it's rampant,
right.
Although it's everywhere, you know?
Exactly.
But they allow it. You never read the paper once saying that they've arrested an abortionist.
No, right.
When it's illegal.
Just like in South America, a lot of Hispanic countries.
We live on a regime of tolerance.
Right, it's against the
we
law.
We have tolerance for prostitution. prostitution, for abortion, mm-hmm. for drugs, for mm-hmm. every crime,
right.
there is tolerance. The law says one thing, and the lawyers and the police say another. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's harder. I mean, when you have a clear-cut situation, when the line is defined, you can fight it. Mm-hmm. But when it's not, like it's here, you know, mm-hmm. if I say, well, abortion is wrong, everybody will say, yes, abortion is wrong. And yet they'll go on abort.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, what do you think of this, Jorge? What I'd like to do is send you the first 120 pages of La Trama.
Yes.
And perhaps we could work together. And you, first off, you could help us determine whether or not this Bible material would be received at all by in Mexico, by Hispanics, or in the U.S.
I'd be delighted, Bo.
Oh.
Delighted. To
praise the Lord.
And let me tell you, I have a background on on philosophy, on letters,
mm-hmm.
through my school.
Mm-hmm.
I was very much interested in, throughout all my school, in philosophy and what do you call it? Writing in Spanish.
Yeah.
I thought at the time of becoming a writer.
Mm.
So if I'm any help, I'd be delighted to do it.
Well, I'm thrilled to make your acquaintance over the phone here. And, you know, the plot is being translated right now, but we need people to proofread it and to give input to the translator. And I can't do that because I had a lousy public school education. So, but also we've got a lot of other materials. For example, our pamphlets, but even more importantly, we have our audio teachings,
wow, yeah.
our seminars, and we're hoping that we could get Spanish language people delivering these seminars.
I see.
Like the overview of the Bible and the tree and God's criminal justice system, law and grace, the last days, all these topics.
Well, you can count on me. Let me tell you that.
All
much.
Right, so we're going to mail this to you.
Thank
and
you.
So I want to make sure the call screener has your address.
Yes, sir.
And then also, Jorge, perhaps we can give you our translator's phone number. And
sure.
you could call him and speak your native tongues with each other. He's from Argentina.
From Argentina.
But he's lived here many years. He was educated there, a real classic education he received. He's just brilliant.
And I'd be glad to talk to him.
All right. Okay. Well, Jorge, anything else?
Well, no, just to wish you the best and just keep the faith and keep on fighting the good fight.
We will. I'm going to put you on hold, Jorge. Thank
God bless
you so much for your call. What a neat guy. All right. Now, I got to tell my engineer that on the main KGov PC on the desktop, there's a file called the translator of the Spanish plot. And the translator's name and phone number is in there, if you could give that to Jorge. Wow. And then I want to make sure I could get in touch with Jorge, so make sure we have his address and phone number. All right. Hey, that was exciting. We don't normally do that. Our number, 1-800-8-N-YART. We'll be right back. When I say we'll be right back, I mean it. This is a live commercial break. And at the bottom of the hour, while our radio stations are doing the news, on the web, we get to chat. And I was telling the audience about the Bible study tapes we have on the Book of Revelation. We have two albums, two six-tape albums. And there's a prosecutor, a county prosecutor somewhere in the U.S., and he was asked by a detective that he works with, what is he studying at church? No, the detective said, so what are you doing at church? And the prosecutor said, we're studying the Book of Revelation. And I know both these guys well. I didn't at the time. But now I know them both well. And the prosecutor said, we're studying the Book of Revelation. The detective said, no, you're not. And the prosecutor, who's a bigger shot than a detective, you know, in the pecking order ranking, The prosecutor said, what do you mean, no, we're not? Of course, we're studying the book of Revelation. And the detective repeated, no, you're not. He said, what do you mean, saying, no, we're not? Yes, we are. So the detective, being a detective, said, okay, well then, do you understand the book? What is it about? And the prosecutor said, you know, we've been studying that book for about a year. I don't understand that book. So the detective said, that's what I mean. You're not studying it. You're reading it. You're talking about it. So the prosecutor was given a set of these albums, Revelation album 1 and 2, that we have from Denver Bible Church, the church that I pastor. I'm honored to pastor. By the way, if you live in the Denver area, come and visit us. And now the prosecutor has said to the detective, in fact, he's gone out of his way to tell us that finally he understands Revelation. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART. If ever you get a busy signal there, of course, you can try 1-888-8-N-YART. That's the order line. And during the show, we often will route those lines in here. You know, I don't know about your state, but in Colorado, our motor vehicle accident rate is down. Remember the liberals told us that if we increase the speed limits nationwide, if we raise them above 55, that the death rate would skyrocket. Everybody would be getting killed because we're driving faster on the highways. And the conservatives said, no, the death rate will not go up. And it didn't go up. In fact, the rate of motor vehicle deaths in Colorado has been cut in half since 1990. Cut in half. Now, how can it possibly be that if you let people drive faster on the highway, there'd be fewer deaths, motor vehicle deaths? How could that possibly be? And you think, airbags? Well, that'd be some factor. But no, something directly related to the speed limit. Why is it that there could be an increased safety factor when you allow people to drive faster? Why is that? Now, a liberal could not ever, 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 ever figure that out and could never answer it. A public school teacher could never, ever, 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 ever figure it out. But I'm going to let you know why. Let's say you're driving from Denver to Salt Lake City, and you leave after work a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, and you're determined you got to make it to Salt Lake City because you got to be back by work by Monday morning. And so you head off to Salt Lake City, and you want to drive a reasonable speed limit that the roads are designed to go 90 or 100 or faster. And your car is designed to safely drive at 100 or faster. But the liberals have signs up that say 55. And so you sneak a little and you go 70, 75, and you get a ticket and you can't afford it. You're going to lose your license. So you got to drive the whole way at 55, 60, maybe 62. And it takes you an extra hour or more, maybe a couple hours, to get to where you're going. And so by the time you get there, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., whatever, wherever you're going, and you're sleeping at the wheel. Whereas if the speed limit is 75, or like in Montana, no speed limit, just drive safely, and you drive 75, 80, 85, 90, whatever you drive, if it's safe, and you could get to where you're going hours. You shave hours off the time of the trip. So there's less of a concern that you will be so exhausted, so drowsy, less of a concern that you're going to fall asleep. And there's hours less time spent on the road. If you're driving across country and you shave 5 hours off the drive, that's five fewer hours in which you might make a mistake. or you might fall asleep, or you might whatever, five fewer hours on the road. So, but liberals could never, ever, 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 ever even conceive of those factors. Not that those factors are determine everything, but they're relevant. Liberals think that, well, if you just, hey, if it'll save one life, it's worth it. And so they'll support some kind of an inane regulation that might save one life out of every 500,000. But they don't realize that that regulation costs millions of dollars. And they say, oh, you conservatives, you don't care. You care more about money than lives. Well, it's pretty much the same thing. Have you ever heard of the standard of living? The standard of living in a society is based on money. The more money the average person has in a city, in a state, the higher the standard of living. And the reason we call it the standard of living is because you live and you don't die. When you have a poor standard of living, you die. You can't get the health care you need. You have a lousy diet. You can't get the recreation, the vacation time to clear your mind. You come home with the kids. You can't pay the bills. You're stressed out. You go to alcohol because you're so stressed because you can't pay the bills. People are in depression, suicidal. Men die of heart disease, number one killer. Women, too, of course, die of heart disease in epidemic numbers. And heart attacks, one of the leading factors of a heart attack is stress. Yeah, stress, emotional stress affects your body much in the same way that physical stress affects your body. And so liberals will do things that they think they're doing it for our good, and they inflict another layer of stress on millions of families. Imagine that. How many family units are in the U.S.? Let's ask a public school graduate, high school graduate. How many family units are in the U.S.? First question, what's a unit? Okay. Second question, what are the borders of the U.S.? How would he know? He'd think New Mexico. He probably thinks Jorge lives in New Mexico. Because they have phones there, he probably thinks New Mexico is a foreign country. Anyway, liberals don't realize we've got about 100 million families or family units, households in America. And when they pass some well-meaning regulation that increases taxes, and by the way, it looks like spending is going up. What did we predict? Hey, what did we predict if George W. Bush became president regarding spending and the national debt? Anybody in the audience know? All right, we're getting thumbs up. We got more than one thumbs up out there. Doesn't mean good, right? Thumbs up means we predicted that spending would increase faster if George W. Bush were elected than it had under the Clinton administration. And it looks like that's happening. And why would we predict that? Because historically, spending goes up faster under Republican administrations than Democratic administrations. Why would that be? Because Republicans are, for the most part, tax and spend liberals, the ones in Washington and most of the ones in state governments and up, you know, high in state governments. And so when a Democrat is in the White House, they fight against tax increases. But when a Republican is in the White House, they support it. All right. Now we're going to Indiana. Kimberly, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi.
Howdy.
I love your show.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'd like to talk to you about the woman that you were talking about in Goshen yesterday.
Yeah.
I live in Goshen, Indiana, too.
All right.
I want you to know that we all don't believe the same way.
Okay, good. I'm glad. you mean the woman who defended the terrorist who killed the 5-year-old little girl in her bed.
Yes.
Yeah, that made me sick to my stomach.
I did want to explain a little bit about the Mennonites.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of understand maybe where she was coming from, they don't believe in war for any reason.
They're pacifists.
Right.
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 And, you know, the terrorists love Mennonites. They would, if they could, they would convert all of America to become Mennonite.
Right.
So that then they could just slaughter us.
Oh.
That's what they would do. Yeah. You know, Gandhi, remember Gandhi during World War II? Gandhi was a pacifist. Gandhi told the Jew, you know about Gandhi, right, Kimberly?
I went to public school.
Oh, I understand. Okay, Gandhi was a barefooted pacifist Indian who was very famous. And so when the Nazis came against the Jews, Gandhi's suggestion was that if the Jews were pacifist and did not resist, they would defeat the Nazis.
Okay.
And so 6 million almost pacifist Jews were slaughtered by the Nazis, and the Nazis were stopped with American bombs and bullets and tanks. So you come against evil criminals with weapons, not with pacifism. But go ahead. So the Mennonites are pacifists.
Yes. I just basically want you to understand that.
Yeah, that's sinful.
You know, I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I have family that are Mennonite and Amish. And,
yeah. You know, they're sinning because they're pacifist.
Yeah.
That is a sin. God is a vengeful God. Vengeance. You remember the Bible verses that say our God is a God of vengeance and wrath and terror.
Yep.
And in the Bible, he says that he delegates vengeance to the governing authorities. So that in Romans 13, so that the government would bring vengeance, wrath, and terror against criminals.
Right.
But the Mennonites make it as though God were evil for being vengeful and full of wrath against the wicked.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Kimberly.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. Appreciate that update, because of course not everybody knows what a Mennonite is. If you don't grow up in Indiana, how are you going to know what a Mennonite is? Where else are Mennonites? They're in Pennsylvania. They're in Kansas. I know that. Yeah. How about Amana refrigerators? Are they made by Mennonites? No, Amana was another Christian community group that needed to make a lot of money, so they made refrigerators, and they did a good job of it. Anyway, hey, that was really enjoyable talking to our just two callers in an entire show. Wow. I don't think I've ever kept a nice guy on for as long as I kept Jorge on. But it was enjoyable to hear the dilemma they have in Mexico about getting the gospel out in a serious way, the meat and not just the milk, and combating the paganism that is the Roman Catholic Church in many, many countries. Just pagan. Virtually just as though Jesus were non-existent, as we heard from Jorge, just Mary worship. Unabashed Mary worship. And why doesn't, for those out there in the audience who are Catholic or like the Catholic Church, defend the Catholic Church, why doesn't the Pope issue a statement ex cathedra saying, just clarifying and saying, do not worship Mary, only worship God? Why doesn't he do that? What do you think? He wouldn't do it, I don't think, because he knows the extent of Mary worship in the Catholic Church. And that's, what is that? That's idolatry. God doesn't look at that kindly. This is Bob Inyo, remind you to do right and risk the consequences. Right.